Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
You guys make me feel at home every single day. I appreciate you guys so much. And the grind, you guys letting us know when we suck and when we're really good. So I appreciate you guys so much. Let's have a great year. And let's go have a party on Broad Street.
Let's have a party on Broad Street. Ray Dinger, that is Bryce Harper before yesterday's game, got his MVP award. Team did a very nice presentation, and Harper embraces the fans and calls for the parade. Can I tell you an interesting thing about that?
What's that?
After the game, reporters were in the locker room and discussing with teammates, like, you know, what do you think of Bryce's talk? And Kyle Gibson said, "What's Broad Street? Where's Broad Street?" Kyle Gibson, by the way, had a great day, and we'll get to that.
Yes.
He says, like, I have no idea where Broad Street is. And, you know, you're thinking, like, probably drives on it every day when he's going to the ballpark. It's
you kind of
three
have
blocks
to.
Away.
Yeah.
Yes. And Castellanos also didn't know, but he's been here about a week. So,
mm-hmm.
But there you go. But Ray, after they celebrate Bryce Harper's MVP season, they go out and they beat the Oakland A's 4-2. Home runs all over the place. Ray, you know what, Ray?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can go. What is it? It's still 10-0-0. Thank you, Sonny. I don't think I can go to 10-0-1 without hearing a Castellanos home run. How about you?
Go right ahead.
And Urban's first pitch to Castellanos is blasted deep center field, and that one's going to go. It is gone. Over the angled wall, Nick Castellanos with his first home run as a Philly. Two-run shot, and the Phillies lead it 2-0 here in the bottom of the first.
Bottom of the first, second day in a row, they plunk Harper, not smart, and then Castellanos launches out of the park. Actually, when he was told about Broad Street, and he was told, like, that's if the Phillies win a World Series, that's where there'll be the parade, he said, so if the Eagles win the Super Bowl, it's Broad Street also? It's like, yeah.
Yeah. Give him a break. Yes.
No,
he's only been in town a short time.
Right, hopefully.
I mean, he knows his way around Clearwater. He probably knows his way around, but he's still got to kind of get his feet on the ground in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
He'll get it.
He'll get it. And hopefully, Ray, I have to tell you, I'm feeling, you know.
I got to say, that even sounded good. The home run?
Yeah.
Off the bat?
Oh, I love that sound of that.
Had that nice crack. I like that.
Lumber hits horse, I'd
mm-hmm.
say. It's the greatest. 2 days in a row, first inning home runs, new bats, Schwarber on, what's this today? Today is Sunday. Schwarber on Friday, Castellanos on Saturday. Great pitching on it. Ray, the power on this team. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Three home runs yesterday. Hoskins and Segura hit home runs, too. Give him a little bit of insurance. The rotation. Gibson with 10 strikeouts. Walks none. 7 scoreless innings.
Yeah, no, he pitched good.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. And I told you yesterday, everybody knows this team's going to hit a lot of home runs and be a very imposing offense. I think they will score 800 runs for the first time since 2009. I do.
That's very possible. I mean, they got a lot of bats, and they got the DH. I mean, it's entirely possible.
But I also believe, and this is the clause that you can put on GetSave and pull up anytime you discuss it, barring injury, this rotation is going to be very good. I mean, not historically great, not the four aces that we saw back in the day, but I think really solid through five. And Kyle Gibson, who's not a star, he's not an all-star, but I think he is a guy who can develop into a everyday fifth starter who you can rely on to win a lot more than he loses. He was certainly much better in Minnesota than he was when he came here last year. That happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think this year, spring training behind him, working with Real Muto, I think he is going to be a guy who is going to be solid and steady. And I'll take solid and steady as my Phillies, Ray, cruise to a minimum of 89 wins. We may have to raise that, Ray.
Minimum of 89, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Mosh, save that. Mark that down.
Mosh, save that. Mark that down.
Look, I hope you're right. I mean, I think, once again, I think the more you talk, the more you get a little carried away. I mean,
not at all, Ray.
Well, I mean, you talk about, you think the rotation. You use the terms now. Remember, you said that they could be very good.
I think it's going to be a top five rotation in the league.
See, I'm not there yet. There's too many unknowns in there. There's really too many unknowns in this staff. I mean, if all of these guys, you know, have career years, they could get there. But the likelihood of that, I don't think, is really good. I think with their offense, the pitching just has to be good enough. It doesn't have to be the reason they're winning. It just has to keep them from not winning. So I'm not prepared. Listen, I would love to see all these guys have great years, and I would love to see the rotation come together and the bullpen be solid and have this team just, you know, win this division by 15 games. I think that would be a fun summer. I just don't see that. I mean, all the stuff you're saying about the offense, I'm with you. It's obvious. It's there. The bats are there. I still have questions about the rotation. I have questions about the bullpen. And obviously, I think anybody with two eyes has questions about the defense.
Yeah, oh, the defense is going to be terrible. But if they strike out 12 guys a game, the defense becomes less important. It is a sad fact of baseball these days, Ray Dinger. The defense isn't out as important as it used to be.
Defense will still lose you games, though.
Oh, and we'll have them. Don't misconstrue this by me telling you that Alec Bohm is not going to kick the ball around.
Mm-hmm. Doing it even as we speak.
No, you know, it was interesting. They, as in Joe Girardi, took him out after the seventh inning yesterday for putting Camargo as defensive replacement.
Yeah.
Bohm had no balls hit to him all night, all afternoon, which, you know, that's good.
That's a good thing.
Right. Yeah.
He just doesn't look like a third baseman. He's just too big. His hands aren't very good. He has no range. He's just not a third baseman.
So, Glenn, I grabbed that prediction you just had, and as I'm saving it as Glenn Phillies prediction, I had to add the date because I had your Glenn Phillies prediction from last year. Would you like to hear it?
Probably right on the money, Mosh. I imagine it was exactly correct.
This is before the 2021 season.
But they're not going to blow 26 leads this year like they did last year.
Close, Glenn. Very close.
Yeah, they blew 28, right? See? I know these things.
Hey, Mosh, well done. That's good research.
Okay.
So everyone, I think what everyone who just heard the last minute or two, you understand that while in terms of sentiment and emotion, you're kind of with Glenn, you have to, now that you have the perspective, it's best to temper that. But they are 2-0.
Yeah.
They are 2-0, and they're off to a really good start. One of the things I do think is going to help them this year, in all seriousness, is that I think the schedule is very favorable early. It gives them a chance to get off to a good start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this last 10 years when they haven't gone to the postseason, how many of those years did they get buried in April and May?
Yep.
Yeah, they really have.
Yeah, we've seen them get off to bad starts.
And they got off to terrible starts. Yeah. And, you know, this year you got, in the month of April, you got Oakland, you got Miami, you got the Mets without DeGrom.
Miami's going to be good.
I'm not so sure.
Well, I mean Miami can be 500 good.
No, okay.
They're not going to be awful.
No, I don't know about that.
Okay.
And then you got two series with Colorado who are awful.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you got Oakland right now who's awful. So their April schedule to me is very favorable and sort of lends you to think that, okay, this year they might actually get off to a good start.
I'll take it. Okay. I would love to get some Phillies talks, 215-592-9494. We're going to bring an interesting discussion in that I don't know that we've ever had coming up in a couple minutes. Before that, or leading into that, Ray, your Philadelphia 76ers yesterday beat the pathetic Indiana Pacers.
Mm-hmm.
Mo, should we have a highlight of that? Okay, let's hear it.
Good look from Harden down to Joel. What? He just can do everything.
There you go. Embiid was amazing yesterday. Not, he always is. 41 points, 20 rebounds, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the way it works today. Today is the last day of the NBA season. I think everybody's in action. I know the Sixers are, and I know the Boston Celtics are. And the way it works is the Sixers play the Pistons at home. Having lost to the Pistons last week out in Detroit, they got to beat the Pistons at home today, right?
I mean, oh, yeah.
Okay, that's going to happen.
Yeah, sure.
Now, the Celtics play the Grizzlies on the road. If the Celtics win, the Celtics are the 3 seed, the Sixers are the 4 seed. If the Celtics lose and the Sixers win, the Sixers grab the 3 seed. The Grizzlies are locked in to their playoff spot out west.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't. They may have a day where it's like, you know, Ja Morant, you're coming off injury, you're not playing.
Right.
You, Van Vliet, you're not playing. You're not playing. You're not playing. Not Van Vliet. Somebody else on their team. But Ja Morant being the big one. So they may decide that they don't care if they beat the Celtics. This matters because if the Sixers are the 4 seed, they open with Toronto.
Right.
Ray Dinger, let's play current events.
Uh-huh.
If the Sixers have to go to Toronto for game 3 and 4 and 6 of that series, who can't play?
Thibel.
Why not?
Not vaccinated.
Mm. How does that impact your squad?
It takes away one of your starters. It takes away your best perimeter defender.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a good place to be in a playoff series.
Uh-uh.
I think that could be the difference. You know, Toronto's a pretty good team anyway.
Well, sure.
And
they're
if you can't match up with your best defensive player, then you're at a big disadvantage.
Yes. I really am worried about that. I really am.
Well, you should be.
I'm worried about it because, you know, obviously I want to see them win. And I'm worried about it because if somehow they do this and they lose, and they let's say they split the first 2 games at home, then they got to go to Toronto and Thibel's not there and they lose because the defense can't hold up.
Right.
Thibel's teammate, I'm not even talking about the fans. Thibel's teammates are going to look at him like, hey, thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
This was our year. This was Embiid's MVP year. This was why James Harden came to Philadelphia. One of the reasons James Harden wanted to come to Philadelphia and leave New Jersey is because he was sick of having an unvaccinated teammate who couldn't play.
Right.
If they lose and looking ahead here and Thibel is a factor, that's bad days in old BlackRock.
I would agree. I think it'll be hard to bring him back, to be honest. I mean, the two people, if that happens, if they draw Toronto and they have to play without Thibel, I don't know if they can survive that series. I really don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, it seems weird to say that about a guy who gives you nothing on the offensive end, but his defense is so critical, especially in this matchup, that if they have to go without him in a playoff series, I just don't know if they can win it. You know, and then you got to look at all the repercussions in the off season. Where does this organization go? And what does that mean for Doc Rivers?
If it's a first round exit, it's,
you got to figure the coach isn't going to survive.
This is not why we tanked for all those years.
No. I mean, that would be after everything that this team did to get to this point and the Harden trade and all, to go out in the first round would be disastrous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the long range implications would be extreme.
Yes, they would. All right. One more thing. Actually, let me take one call, and then I'm going to get into kind of our fun topic of the day, which I don't think you and I have ever discussed in all these years. Last night, I had the pleasure of going up to New Hope with my wife and watching the latest incarnation of Tommy and Me at the Bucks County Playhouse.
Very kind of you to do that.
Oh, it was a pleasure. And did a talk back afterward. It was a great crowd. They were enthusiastic. They loved it. And one of the people that we ran into there is our caller from California. Jack from Santa Barbara was there. And may I say, the dude was looking good, much better groomed than I've seen him in the past.
He looked great. It was great to finally get to meet you, Jack. What a pleasure that was.
You clean up nice.
Well, I met you guys 18 years ago at the Hoagie Shop, thanks to my brother Frank.
Well, I met you at the brewery, 2 years ago.
I went out of my way to always track Glenn down, but I never got to see Ray because he's a little bit busy. So I got to see Ray, and, yeah, it was great. And I also had a WIP moment while I was in line. So Ray, you're out waiting to do the book signing, and I'll share this WIP story. So I say, hey, Prof. So he's up on the stage, and he gets my attention, and I get his attention, and we have our little jag, you know, and he's got that wonderful radio voice, right? So the people are listening to him and I have this dialogue. Mm-hmm. And I get back in line, and this guy says to me, "You're Jack from Santa Barbara. I heard 3 weeks ago that you were coming to the play," and he said, "And I want to tell you, I really like when you're on the radio." So,
oh, nice.
So my name's Bob, and I said, "Well, do you call in?" And he said, no, I just listen. I love these guys." But so I had my Tommy moment there while I was getting my book signed for Dad from Ray.
Very nice.
And then along with the signature, Glenn, I got like perfect Catholic school penmanship.
Oh, the handwriting is astonishing. Listen, I say, even if you like have no interest in reading Ray's book, you should still buy it just to get him to sign it to see
the penmanship.
Oh, it's incredible. It really is. It really is. Well, yeah. Jack, just real quick, because we got to move on, but the show, pretty damn good.
Oh. Well, the first thing I need to acknowledge is the person that got me there came in from Hawaii and made a commitment to get me there because I can't travel alone, and she got me there. So I wanted to acknowledge Peggy, who I introduced to you.
Yeah, nice. Very nice.
And the people where I'm staying are helping me get there too. So, what were you saying before that?
I was saying that I wanted you, before we let you go, to talk about how you felt about the show itself.
Well, I told Ray that I was so moved by the crescendo in the show that built up the way it did to the aha moment, that the writing was, the pacing and the writing and the casting, it was all like riding a perfect wave.
Yeah, it was pretty damn good. Hey, yeah. Jack,
it was great seeing you there. That was really
thanks for coming in.
What a nice surprise that was to have him in line there getting the book and then introducing himself as Jack from Santa Barbara.
Yeah, it's cool. Very cool.
But thank you for coming last night.
It was
a great night.
I'm always there.
We had two shows yesterday. We had the one show at 2:00. Valerie Knight came and was host at the Talkback, and the theater was full. It was packed. And then last night it was just about full. And they were two great audiences and two great shows. So it's really been going well.
You got another one today?
We have another show today at 2:00. If anyone wants to come out, there are still tickets available. Bucks County Playhouse in New Hope. We have a show today at 2:00, and then we come back next week for a run Thursday, Friday, two shows on Saturday, and then the final show on Easter Sunday. And a little sneak preview is next Friday night, the host of the Talkback is none other than Joe Conklin.
Sweet.
So if you're a Joe Conklin fan, come on out Friday night and see Tommy and me and get to see Joe Conklin.
I'm curious if he's going to play that straight or how that's going to go. Okay, I want to get into the issue of the day, and it's this. I got into a debate with somebody yesterday about Embiid and the MVP, and I'm backing Embiid. And Embiid today is going to win the scoring title, assuming he gets whatever, 10, 15 points. It's more important the Sixers lock down and win, but he will become the first center to average 30 points a season since Moses Malone did it before he was even on the Sixers.
Right.
You made the case yesterday. Where would the Sixers be without him? You see how he is great day in and day out, game in and game out. He's going to lose the MVP, by all accounts, to Nikola Jokic. And there's no shame there. Jokic is having a great season, but I think not as great. So after we discussed it, a guy I know who's a big basketball geek reached out to me and said, "Jokic," and here's what he said. He said, "Glenn, you have to realize Jokic is first in the league in," I'm going to read this just straight, "VORP per BPM, DPPM, OBPM, WS/per 48, WS, OWS, Raptor War, Total Raptor, Offensive Raptor, and he's second in DWS and DW Raptor. Ray, I didn't know he played for the Raptors." So you want to know what Raptor is?
What is it?
Raptor is robust algorithm using player tracking and off ratings. I don't know, and on off ratings. I don't know what that means. It measures the number of points a player contributes to his team offense and defense per 100 possessions relative to a league average player. Okay, great. I have a headache. Now, it got me thinking, what stats mean something and which stats mean something and which stats don't? Because there are people who have taken a different look at stats and saying the traditional stats in sports are overrated. And I'll give you one because this is the one that comes up the most. And I think there's some truth in this. Wins by a pitcher is an overrated stat. Used to be, hey, a guy wins 20 games. I mean, he's an ace. That's it. First of all, nobody pitches enough anymore to do that.
Right.
But second of all, we can agree that a pitcher can go 8-8 and have a great year, but he doesn't get the offensive support. Or a pitcher can go 15-5 and be a mediocre pitcher who just happens to pitch in good luck.
Right.
So I would agree that pitcher's wins is an overrated stat.
Okay.
Okay. But I would also argue that a lot of these new stats, which I think are contrived stats, I'm not an anti-analytics person, but I think that people who just marry themselves to these stats and say, that's it, you can't argue. It's VORP. That's what matters. You can't argue.
Right.
Thus makes those stats overrated.
Right.
WAR in baseball, to me, is an overrated stat because people say, like, that's the end of the argument. He had a 3.8 WAR. He had a 3.2 WAR. Bobby Abreu is more valuable than Jimmy Rollins because his WAR was higher.
Right.
No, he wasn't.
No.
No, he was not.
I agree.
And by the way, nobody can actually tell you what WAR is. Like, what goes into it?
Yeah, wins above replacement.
The math? Yeah. Yeah. How is that measured?
I don't know exactly how it's calculated, but right. I know people use it as the absolute arbiter of every argument.
Right.
You know, his WAR will tell you otherwise.
Well, so that's overrated.
Yeah.
So here's what I want to do today. Ow. And start with you. I just hit my funny bone.
Yeah, I saw that. Look, that looked painful.
It's such a weird. Why do you have this little part of your body that is so vulnerable, like so exposed, yet so vulnerable? You back your arm into a chair, all of a sudden your fingers are numb. Anyway,
see, these are the things
digress.
I miss when we don't work together. I mean, you're banging your elbow out that hoe in Haverford. I never get to see that.
Right. That hurt. Anyway, Ray.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. We didn't give away our prize yesterday, our $50 gift card to Scheib Vintage Sports, where there is a story in every stitch. I love that line. Check out their throwback apparel at their Center City location or at scheibsports.com. Today, we're going to have a big conversation. We'll talk about the Phillies. We'll talk a lot about the Sixers. Keith Pompey is going to join us later from the Philadelphia Inquirer to talk some Sixers. We're going to lead into Phillies baseball. You're going to give an NFL draft preview later on. But I want to have the topic of the day be a stat that you think is overrated. Any sport. And the thing is, I think this will be interesting because some people will say kind of old traditional sport stats, and some will go the other direction. And at the end, Moshe Kravitz gets to award a $50 gift card to which one he thinks is the best.
Oh, good.
Takes us off the hook.
I'm glad you're handing that responsibility to Moshe.
I never want that responsibility.
No, nor do I.
So
I'm
give me
predicting that I won't be able to make a decision between two.
Okay, well, you're going to have to. Or you can go to advertising and say we need another gift card. They'd probably give you one, but
I was trying to flip it back to you guys.
No, not happening. Ray, give me an overrated stat.
Because I'm a football guy, I always think football first. I think completion percentage in football.
Is there a particular person you would want to cite in making that argument?
Of course. First one that comes to mind is Sam Bradford, obviously.
Broke the record.
Sure. I mean, he's got the, if you look in the Eagles record book for completion percentage of the season, it's, you know, it's not Cunningham, it's not Van Brocklin, it's not McNabb, it's none of those guys, it's Sam Bradford. And, you know, it just, yeah, he completed a ton of passes, but, and I had this discussion with the guys who were covering the team back when Brad, in the 1 year that he was here. They're talking about, he's completing 70% of his passes. I said, yeah, but he doesn't score touchdowns and he doesn't win games. You know, that's, when you get right down to it, that's what a quarterback's there to do. He's there to get the ball in the end zone, and at the end of the day, he's there to win a game.
Yeah.
If he completes 70% of his passes and you lose, I don't particularly care, okay?
Well, it would be like he did 3rd and 2 after Bradford has completed 2 passes for 4 yards apiece.
I can't tell you how many times in that season you would have a possession where Bradford would complete 3 passes and you'd be punting.
Yeah, that's great. You know what? Ray could win. Although you know the people at Chibe Sports.
I'm fine.
Ray cannot win.
Ray cannot win, but that is a great one.
You could at least think about it before you slam the door on me.
All right, here we go. 215-592-9494. Everything is on the topic. We'll certainly work the Eagles into the conversation as we go on. And by the way, nice thing happened at the Flyers game last night. We'll bring that into the talk, too.
Yes.
But bigger focus on the Phillies and, you know, my unbridled enthusiasm, I'll admit it. Just most don't play that thing again. And also a lot of talk about the Sixers, where they are, and I don't know. A little nervous going into the playoffs. Ray Dinger, Glenn Macnow.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Ray Dinger, Glenn Macnow, 94 WIP. Get to the phones in 1 second, Ray. One thing, there was a big story on Joel Embiid in The Athletic this week. Really good profile. It covered a whole lot of stuff. And if you're an Embiid fan, try to find it. Try to read it. It's one thing that really bothered me a lot. Joel Embiid, when he orders steak or any meat, has a he's got a fear of food poisoning, and so he orders his steaks, quote, extra, 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 six, well done, burned. I can't abide that.
No, neither. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I've lost a lot of respect. I'm not really, but I mean, people are going to take that too literally. But really? I've never understood people who order their meat well done, because to me, all you do is you take out the flavor and the texture of it.
Exactly.
And yeah, to each his own. I mean, you have the constitutional right to do it. I'm not telling you can't, but I will raise my eyebrow in doubt and question. I had this conversation on the radio 20 years ago, when I was doing the show with Jody McDonald. The issue came up. I don't remember why. I don't think it was Jody, but the issue came up. And we got a call from a guy who was a big-time chef at a local steakhouse. And he said, let me tell you a little industry secret. When somebody orders a steak well done or extra well done, in this case six extras, we find the worst piece of meat we have, and that becomes the steak, because once you cook it that much, it doesn't make a difference. You are creating shoe leather.
Right.
The beautiful, you know, marbling of the steak and all the parts. Yeah, like, you know, that becomes irrelevant.
It's lost. Sure.
Right. So you're just getting the worst piece of meat in the house.
Right. As Jake LaMotta told his wife in Raging Bull, you overcook it, it defeats its own purpose.
Wow. Good pull, right?
Remember that?
No, but that was a good pull. Anyway, that's my Embiid factoid of the day. Yeah, I see you're disturbed as I am.
Yeah, I don't know why I just had visions of him being a guy that just liked the nice juicy.
I appreciate it. It was a connoisseur of the finer things in life.
Yeah.
Yes, the finer things in life are not taking your steak and turning it into gristle.
No, I can't imagine Jody Mack is an extra well done guy, right?
I just remember that Jody's
a medium rare guy. I
don't know. We can ask.
I'd be willing to bet that.
But I just remember it came up as a topic when I was doing the show with Jody, and I just remembered that chef calling in, and always thought after that, like, when I see somebody order a steak well done, I'm thinking, like, guess what you just got?
Yeah.
You got the one sitting in the corner with all the junk on it. Yep. All right. Now that we covered that, let's talk to Mike in Yardley. You're on with Ray and Glenn. Hello, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right.
Got to talk to you both last night, and I had disappointment with the show and my highlight. The disappointment was, Glenn, I couldn't track down Jack from Santa Barbara. He's my favorite caller to the show. You pointed him out to me, but he got away before I could track him down.
Right. Jack's becoming a cult figure.
He certainly is.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Fellow surfers that need to connect sometimes.
Oh, you know? Yeah, I remember talking to you. Yeah, you're the surfer. Yeah.
Yeah, and but what was really, I thought, great, especially in the talkback section, is that it was clear that this program had a lot of fans there because Glenn brought up the times when Ray is less than his gentlemanly self, and you said, we have a pet name for him on the show, and then the crowd went Roy.
In unison. They did. And 300 people. 300 people go, Roy.
Yeah, I noticed that.
It was great. That was my highlight. But what's funny is I couldn't find Jack, and I went to get my car at the valet. And I'm standing in front of Stella's, which is the restaurant right next to the theater. And Ray comes walking over, and he gets, a bunch of people come over and swarm over to him. And it was two or three couples, and they were all really happy and excited to talk to Ray. And then it turned out they didn't even know that the show was next door at the Playhouse. I thought it was really pretty funny. Ray, you were great with them, though. It was wonderful.
Well, they were nice folks. And
I
told them, I said, well, did you come to the play? And they said, what play? And I said, the one right over there. So they promised that they will come back this week, and I trust that they will.
Hey, Mike, give us a stat that is overrated.
A stat that's overrated, in my opinion, is on-base percentage because it's the foundation of the analytics problem we have. It overvalues walks, and all of a sudden you got guys trying to work counts and take pitches, and it's just kind of ruined the game.
Hold on a second.
Sure.
Are you telling me that my JV high school baseball coach, and let the record reflect that that's where my career ended,
mm-hmm.
as a utility infielder on JV high school baseball.
Okay.
Are you telling me that when he used to say, hey, Mac now, walks as good as
walks
a hit.
Walks as good as a hit.
You're telling me that wasn't the truth?
That's not the truth.
Oh, it's my
not.
Gosh.
The ball put in play is better if it's a single. You have much more chances for the other team to make mistakes, especially the corner butchers are going to make a mistake.
And there
a walk
go.
Never turns into a double, but the corner butchers turn outs into triples.
I got you.
Now, I have one other disappointment, Glenn, and I want to get this off my chest right now. I was really hoping you were going to challenge Ray the way you said you were going to do yesterday.
With what?
With him getting on the bandwagon of the Phillies.
Oh, well, I'm doing that today.
We need to do it, Ray. You got to jump on. Come on.
Good persuasive argument, Mike. Thank you. Ray, come on. Is that enough?
They're 2-0, okay?
There you go.
Well done.
Undefeated.
Congratulations. I'm happy for you.
They're going to win today. Can I tell you the A's are terrible?
They are terrible.
Yeah. This there's
they're a 95 loss team.
If things go well, tanking has become a part now of baseball as it has been of basketball.
Oh yeah.
The Reds are tanking. I don't think the Orioles are tanking. They're just bad.
They're just inept, yeah.
There's another team that's tanking, and I'm forgetting who it is.
Pirates?
The Pirates are tanking. The Pirates are tanking. It's despicable. It really is. If the fan base, listen, we went through it here with the Sixers, and the Sixers fan base, by and large, hung in. They bought into it. They persuaded people that this process thing was good, okay? It has now become such a part of sports, and I just can't abide it. I don't like it. I just don't. All right, whatever.
You know who's trending in that
People
direction,
have heard
too?
Me say that.
It's Cleveland. And Cleveland had been good for a long time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But they're heading towards Tankville.
Yeah. Yep, they are. Not doable in the NFL?
No. There's too few games, and there's too much scrutiny. Does it look like at the end of a season a team might throw a game away to get a higher draft pick, maybe.
Not a season-long.
For a season, no.
Yeah. Because you get your guy. I mean, what are you going to have, no offensive line and kill your quarterback?
Right.
Yeah. Brandon in Brookhaven, you're on with Glenn and Ray. Brandon, good thing happened last night down at the Wells Fargo Center.
Yes. Can I give my stupid stat first before I forget it?
Yeah.
You know what drives me nuts? Remember that Tampa Bay Eagle game? And they're all saying that the weather
Tampa Bay is doesn't win in cold weather.
Yeah, the Bucks could never win under 40 degrees.
Yes.
Up until the moment that they did.
Those type of shots drive me nuts. Yeah. The wind comes from the north northeast. If this team is this record, when the wind comes from the north northeast.
Yes, I hear you.
But those are the stats that drive me nuts. But I have a quick story of Lou Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
He's such a good guy. My wife, who's looking at me right now, waving at me, she met Lou Nolan because we knew someone had season tickets right behind him. And we noticed that he always brings candy to do the game.
Mm-hmm.
So next game we came, she bought him like a birthday card because they're born the same day. Yeah, now she's trying to talk. Sorry.
Hey, welcome to my life.
Yeah.
Judy, I'm on the phone. Yeah, but tell me this. Yeah, go ahead.
And Lou Nolan invited her down in the box. She sat in the box, sat next to Lou Nolan, and they were having a great conversation. He's such a nice guy, down to earth. And I just would really like to congratulate him for his 50th year. And
very nice.
It's great to see the Flyers honor him.
That's
I just wanted to share that story.
You got it. And it was very nice.
Great, Brandon.
And
I'm glad you did.
Yeah, nice story about your wife. So last night at the Flyers game, they decided it was appropriate, and it was, to honor Lou Nolan, who is in his 50th year.
As the PA man.
Yeah. And by the way, a couple days earlier, Lou Nolan went over to Citizens Bank Park to congratulate, shake hands, and do a little tribute to Dan Baker,
right,
who is also in his 50th year as the Phillies public address announcer.
Yeah.
Two Giants, and Lou is a great guy. I know Lou pretty well. Our kids played hockey against each other, and Lou and I used to sit over there in the stadium, you know, jabbering, watching our kids pound each other. Has always done a great job. I remember the first hockey game I ever went, the first Flyers game I ever went to when I moved here, right? 86. Mm-hmm. And I went to a game December 86, first game I went to. And before the game, I see this guy walking across the ice, you know, real short steps so he doesn't slip on the ice, right? And the crowd goes, boo! And I'm thinking, why are they booing this poor guy? What, do they want him to fall down? And I realized that the public address announcer had such a personality and such a public position that the fans chanted his name
as
he came on before the game. And only grown since then.
They did. Lou worked for the team and worked in the building at the Spectrum before he actually got to the microphone. He was like a press box steward and worked in the public relations department with Joe Cadillac. And then the guy who was their original PA guy, I think his name was Eric Johnson, maybe. For whatever reason, I think he might have jumped over to the Blazers. I think he might have gone to the when the WHA came in.
And not a good decision.
And so they gave Lou the opportunity to become the public address announcer, and people loved him. And here he is, 50 years later, still doing it. You know the Louis moment. And he and I are good friends too. The Louis moment that always sticks out in my mind was the Flyers win the first cup. They beat the Bruins Sunday afternoon, 1-0. And the people are storming the ice. The people have climbed over the glass. They're on the ice. They're you know, Clark and Perron are trying to skate the cup around. All the people are around them. And Louis comes on the PA system and says, the voting has been completed, and the winner of the Conn Smythe Trophy for the playoffs, most valuable player, and there's this pause, there's this hush in the building, and Louis says, our goalie, Bernie Perrant. And I thought, you know, that's crossing the line, okay? But it was so perfect for the moment.
It's the time to do
our goalie, Bernie Perrant.
Yeah.
I'll always remember that.
That's nice. Anyway, congratulations to him. And I was with you up at Bucks Counter, so I didn't see it, but I saw photos. Looks like they did a nice job. Lindros was there. I saw a nice picture of Bernie handing Lou some kind of plaque or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like they did it upright. A team that has made many, many mistakes on the ice and too many off the ice, seems like they got that right, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, give them credit for the Giroux night was a great night.
Mm-hmm.
They did that one very well, and they honored Louis last night, which was really good.
Yep. 215-592-9494, you know the topics, and included among them, give us the most overrated stat. Can't say we have anything yet that would qualify as a winner because, really, you know, that weather thing wasn't a stat, but we'll get some. Ray and I have to roll out a few more. We will. Ray and Glenn on 94 WIP. Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now. Maybe we'll tell that story later. Let's.
I can't wait to hear it. We'll get to it.
All right. Christina Lori wouldn't shake my hand one day. That was the story.
Germaphobe or something?
Just didn't like me. It was during a winter day, winter night, Friday or Saturday night, years and years ago. My wife and I went to the movies, Narberth Theater,
mm-hmm.
standing in line. Might have been to see The English Patient, because I have bad memories of that whole night.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. God, that movie just kept going.
I think it's
still running.
It was interminable. It was just interminable. And that won the Oscar, right?
I know. And there was a great Seinfeld episode about how Elaine didn't like the movie. And everybody came down and like, what do you mean you don't like The English Patient? You have to like The English Patient. And she did the like, it just goes on and on and on. It's like, but it's The English Patient. Anyway. So we're getting in line to get tickets, and I see like two people in front of me is Jeff Lurie, who you know I had met. I think I might have still been with the Inquirer at the time, and I'm covering the Eagles more, and so I had spoken to Lurie on at least an occasional basis. And so I said, hey, Jeff, nice, Glenn McNamara, nice to see you, and he shook my hand. Yeah, how are you? And I said, this is my wife Judy. He said, hey, and this is my wife Christina. I put my hand out. Her hands never left her coat.
Is that right?
Yeah. They were in the pockets. It was winter night. Maybe she was cold. Hands were in the pocket. Then my hand was standing out there like an unanswered question, Ray. Just one uncomfortable tamale.
That's an uncomfortable
hanging
feeling.
Out.
It's an uncomfortable feeling.
Right? And then, like, what am I going to do with this hand, which is out there? So I did the, like, I'll just scratch the back of my head mm-hmm. and put it back in my pocket.
That's always a good way of doing it. That little scratch to the back.
Right.
Do the little Chip Kelly, scratch the back of your head, and then put your hand back in your pocket.
Was that what you said that was his tell?
That's
what
he's lying. Yeah. Yeah. When he's getting ready to tell a lie, he reaches back and scratches his neck.
You should have played poker.
I had them all. I had every coach down. And, it took... about half a season, but then you figured out the tells about when they were lying.
Andy's was the throat clear.
No. Andy's was the twitching mustache. He would give you a little Oliver Hardy twitch of the mustache. That was when he was getting ready to tell a lie. With Chip, it was scratching the back of his neck.
That's great.
With Buddy would fiddle with his glasses. Buddy would reach up and fiddle with his glasses.
Wow.
But he was going to tell you a lie.
Right. You got to get down to Atlantic City, man.
I even figured out Jimmy Johnson. Because I covered the Cowboys so much. I was down in Dallas so much. I even figured out Jimmy Johnson. He would lick his upper lip. Like he would run his tongue across his upper lip.
Right, that's good. That's
I never Vermeil never lied. So there was never anything to find. Dick was incapable of lying. But every other coach I ever knew lied.
That's great. That's so great.
You just had to figure out when they were lying.
Let's go to Geary. Our pal Geary. We saw him. Whoa, I got feedback. We saw Geary at the play last night. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. You look good last night.
Thank you. Thank you. You look good, too. Yeah. Ray, I just want to say thank you for all the 70-plus-year-old people that were Tommy McDonald fans. And I get choked up because he was my idol as well. And that play was awesome last night. I really, really enjoyed it. And,
thank you.
It was excellent. So,
thank you. I'm glad you came, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. Was that the first time you had seen it, Gary?
Yes, it was. Yes, and my wife enjoyed it as well. She like Judy is not a sports. I've been doing sports as long as it's officiating in three different sports. My wife is not a sports enthusiast. So,
right,
but it works.
It's fun.
Well, that's the whole thing. It's the background is sports, but it's really the kernel of the story is about a kid growing up to be a man and hero worship and all those things.
Mm-hmm. It's about relationships, and that's we hear that, Gary. We hear that all the time is in the theater when people say, and usually it's the wife. I mean, usually they're at the show because he wants to be at the show, and she kind of goes along because it's theater. And we hear that all the time is, gee, I thought this was a play about football, but it's a lot more than that. And we heard a lot of it last night. And a lot of it's a tribute to the actors because they are so good.
Oh,
they are so good.
They were excellent. Excellent. I saw Glenn after the performance. I and I didn't get my question in. But my question that I was going to pose was why is Tommy's number not retired, even with Pete's 44 is retired, Tommy's 40 is retired, and Benarek's 60 is retired on the same team. Why isn't 25 retired?
Well, the best way to explain it is that all of those guys, the other guys you mentioned, Brookshire 40, Retzlaff 44, Benarek 60, were all retired long ago. We're all retired in the 60s. I think what happens sometimes, and I'm not meaning to criticize Jeff Lurie by saying this, but very often when a new owner comes in and buys a team, his view is kind of the history of the team begins with the day he bought the team. And everything that went before is sometimes forgotten. And so that's why last year I wrote an article about it, actually, kind of hoping it would plant the seed in somebody's mind. What I proposed last year was retiring the number 25 and saying and honor two players. And you can retire 25 and honor both LeSean McCoy and Tommy McDonald.
Yeah.
Knowing that Jeff would be probably inclined to retire Shady's number because he is your franchise's leading rusher. But if you're going to retire 25, then honor both the great players that wore it. I kind of thought that I kind of just wanted to put that idea out there and hope that maybe they would act on it.
Yeah.
And maybe they will.
Similar to Del Ennis and Pete Rose and 14 is retired, so with the Phillies.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. 14
Gary,
and also always Jim
a pleasure.
Bunning. They retired it for Bunning, but they've also got a couple of other very worthy 14s.
Let's get to Rob before we hit the break. I didn't ask him if he had an overrated stat. Sorry about that. Rob, what's on your mind?
Glenn.
Yes, sir.
I really respect your baseball thing. Ray, I'm your age. I was born in April. My birthday was Monday, April 4th of 46. So we're contemporaries.
Yes, we sure are.
All right, I went to St. Joe's. I went to South Philly High. You went to St. James.
That is correct.
I wrote for my high school sports newspaper. I used to hate Bishop Newman because I went to Southern, and I went to a St. James game one time and had a roof of those guys in the blue uniforms. That being said, I'm going out to Burbank in the fall. I'm a writer myself. I'm a screenwriter. So I'm going to be going there for good. I spent a lot of time in California. Ray, I have something. I hope you don't take this the wrong way. I'm curious. I might be going to your play next week. My cousin wants to take me.
Oh, please do.
I have to get something cleared up first. I love all my Phillies. I'm a baseball guy. You're a football guy. I'm a baseball guy because the best moments of my life with my dad, that was a connection with my dad, in baseball and stuff like that, with the game when I was a kid. And I remember the Phillies 23-game losing streak. You remember that?
Oh, 61? Sure.
Oh,
never forget
Who broke the 23-game losing streak? Which pitcher?
Was it John Buzzard?
John Buzzard against the Braves, the second game of doubleheader. Just like I know the Eagles, I know who threw the key block on Ted Dean's touchdown in 60. Do you remember who threw the key block?
Yeah, Jerry Huth.
Rob, we can't play trivia here. Right,
okay,
you got to get to the point.
Okay. I think, Ray, and I hope I'm wrong. Do you dislike the Phillies? Or just, if they were playing the Mets in the last game of the year, right, and the winner went to the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
would you want to see them go and, like, take a little bit of the edge away, a little bit of the attention away from your Eagles, or do you root for them?
Oh, no. I want the Phillies to win.
Okay, good. I feel loud. Now I'll go to your play.
Okay, please do.
I'm going to go.
Ray's intent is listen, I'm very enthusiastic about this team. You think I'm over-enthusiastic about this team. That's your honest opinion.
Right.
It's not you thinking, being a Debbie Downer.
Yeah, wishing ill on them by any means.
Right.
No, nothing at all. I'm just trying to be, it kind of became a little bit of a thing on Eagles pregame show on the TV when I would say, reality check. Yeah. I mean, I would do it when, usually it was.
Are you reality checking me?
Mildly. Oh. I mean, it isn't quite like I used to have to do with the governor. I used to really have to reel the governor in sometimes when he was doing the pregame show with us. But I think every so often I kind of feel the need to just kind of, okay, let's just step back a moment and take a real hard look at where we are. And look, I think the Phillies are going to be a good team. And as I said yesterday, our projections for the team aren't that different. You're saying 89 wins. I'm saying 85,
mm-hmm.
which, we're really literally in the same ballpark. But, I mean, you're just a lot more
effusive.
Utterly confident in them.
Yeah,
you're talking about the votation you think can be very good.
I do.
I think, to me, I don't think it can be very good. There's too many question marks there. But I think they can be good enough when they're backed up by a good offense. And though I think the one thing we both agree on is they're going to be a good offense. They're going to score a lot of runs.
Yep. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up, we're going to talk Sixers basketball with Keith Pompey, who handles that team for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Find out what he thinks of Embiid in the playoff race and what he thinks about them in, Embiid in the MVP and them in the playoffs. So we got that coming up. 215-592-9494.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ray Dinger, Glenn Mack now. Maybe we'll tell that story later.
I can't wait to hear it. We'll get to it.
All right. Christina Lori wouldn't shake my hand one day. That was the story.
Germaphobe or something?
Just didn't like me. It was during a winter day, winter night, Friday or Saturday night, years and years ago. My wife and I went to the movies, Narberth Theater,
mm-hmm.
Standing in line. Might have been to see The English Patient, because I have bad memories of that whole night.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah. God, that movie just kept going.
It's
still running.
It was interminable. It was just interminable. won the Oscar, right?
I know. And there was a great Seinfeld episode about how Elaine didn't like the movie, and everybody came down and like, what do you mean you don't like The English Patient? You have to like The English Patient. And she did the, like, it just goes on and on and on. It's like, but it's The English Patient. Anyway. So we're getting in line to get tickets, and I see like two people in front of me is Jeff Lurie, who you know I had met. I think I might have still been with the Inquirer at the time, and I'm covering the Eagles more, and so I had spoken to Lurie on at least an occasional basis. And so I said, hey, Jeff, nice, Glenn McNamara, nice to see you. And he shook my hand. Yeah, how are you? And I said, this is my wife Judy. He said, hey, and this is my wife Christina. I put my hand out. Her hands never left her coat.
Is that right?
Yeah. They were in the pockets. It was winter night. Maybe she was cold. Hands were in the pocket. Then my hand was standing out there like an unanswered question, right? Just one uncomfortable tamale.
That's an uncomfortable
hanging
feeling.
Out.
It's an uncomfortable feeling.
Right? And then, like, what am I going to do with this hand, which is out there? So I did the, like, I'll just scratch the back of my head mm-hmm. and put it back in my pocket.
That's always a good way of doing it. That little scratch to the back.
Right.
Do the little Chip Kelly, scratch the back of your head, and then put your hand back in your pocket.
Was that what you said that was his tell?
That's
what
he's lying. Yeah. Yeah. When he's getting ready to tell a lie, he reaches back and scratches his neck.
You should have played poker.
I had them all. I had every coach down. And, it took. about half a season, but then you figured out the tells about when they were lying.
Andy's was the throat clear.
No. Andy's was the twitching mustache. he would give you a little Oliver Hardy twitch of the mustache. That was when he was getting ready to tell a lie. With Chip, it was scratching the back of his neck.
That's great.
With Buddy would fiddle with his glasses. Buddy would reach up and fiddle with his glasses.
Wow.
But he was going to tell you a lie.
Right. You got to get down to Atlantic City, man.
I even figured out Jimmy Johnson. Because I covered the Cowboys so much. I was down in Dallas so much. I even figured out Jimmy Johnson. He would lick his upper lip. Like he would run his tongue across his upper lip.
Right, that's good. That's
I never Vermeil never lied. So there was never anything to find. Dick was incapable of lying. But every other coach I ever knew lied.
That's great. That's so great.
You just had to figure out when they were lying.
Let's go to Geary. Our pal Geary. We saw him. Whoa, I got feedback. We saw Geary at the play last night. How are you?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. You look good last night.
Thank you. Thank you. You look good, too. Yeah. Ray, I just want to say thank you for all the 70-plus-year-old people that were Tommy McDonald fans, and I get choked up because he was my idol as well. And that play was awesome last night. I really, really enjoyed it. And,
thank you.
It was excellent. So
thank you. I'm glad you came, and I'm glad you enjoyed it. Was that the first time you had seen it, Gary?
Yes, it was. Yes. And my wife enjoyed it as well. She like Judy is not a sports. You know, I've been doing sports as long as you know that, you know, it's officiating in three different sports. My wife is not a sports enthusiast. So,
right,
but it works. That's the whole thing. The background is sports, but it's really the kernel of the story is about a kid growing up to be a man and hero worship and all those things.
Mm-hmm. It's about relationships. And that's we hear that, Gary, we hear that all the time is in the theater when people say, and usually it's the wife. I mean, usually they're at the show because he wants to be at the show and she kind of goes along because it's theater. And we hear that all the time is, gee, I thought this was a play about football, but it's a lot more than that. And we heard a lot of it last night. And a lot of it's a tribute to the actors because they are so good.
Oh.
They are so good.
They were excellent. I did. I saw Glenn after the performance. I didn't get my question in, but my question that I was going to pose was why is Tommy's number not retired, even with Pete's 44 is retired, Tommy's 40 is retired, and Benarek 60's retired on the same team. Why isn't 25 retired?
Well, the best way to explain it is that all of those guys, the other guys you mentioned, Brookshire 40, Retzlaff 44, Benarek 60, were all retired long ago. We're all retired in the 60s. I think what happens sometimes, and I'm not meaning to criticize Jeff Lurie by saying this, but very often when a new owner comes in and buys a team, his view is kind of the history of the team begins with the day he bought the team, and everything that went before is sometimes forgotten. And so that's why last year I wrote an article about it, actually, kind of hoping it would plant the seed in somebody's mind. What I proposed last year was retiring the number 25, and saying and honor two players, and you can retire 25 and honor both LeSean McCoy and Tommy McDonald.
Yeah.
Knowing that Jeff would be probably inclined to retire Shady's number because he is your franchise's leading rusher, but if you're going to retire 25, then honor both the great players that wore it. I kind of thought I kind of just wanted to put that idea out there and hope that maybe they would act on it.
Yeah.
And maybe they will.
Similar to Del Ennis and Pete Rose and 14 is retired, so with the Phillies.
Yes. Yeah, 14,
Gary,
and also always Jim
a pleasure.
Bunning. They retired it for Bunning, but they've also got a couple of other very worthy 14s.
Let's get to Rob before we hit the break. I didn't ask him if he had an overrated stat. Sorry about that. Rob, what's on your mind?
Glenn.
Yes, sir.
I really respect your baseball thing. Ray, I'm your age. I was born in April. My birthday was Monday, April 4th of 46. So we're contemporaries.
Yes, we sure are.
All right, I went to St. Joe's. I went to South Philly High. You went to St. James.
That is correct.
I wrote for my high school sports newspaper. I used to hate Bishop Newman because I went to Southern, and I went to a St. James game one time and had a roof of those guys in the blue uniforms. That being said, I'm going out to Burbank in the fall. I'm a writer myself. I'm a screenwriter. So I'm going to be going there for good. I spent a lot of time in California. Ray, I have something. I hope you don't take this the wrong way. I'm curious. I might be going to your play next week. My cousin wants to take me.
Oh, please do.
I have to get something cleared up first. I love all my Phillies teams. I'm a baseball guy. You're a football guy. I'm a baseball guy because the best moments of my life were with my dad. That was a connection with my dad, you know, in baseball and stuff like that. The game when I was a kid, and I remember the Phillies 23-game losing streak. You remember that?
Oh, 61? Sure,
Who broke the 23-game losing streak? Which pitcher?
Was it John Buzzard?
John Buzzard against the Braves, the second game of doubleheader. Just like I know the Eagles, I know who threw the key block on Ted Dean's touchdown in 60. Do you remember who threw the key block?
Yeah, Jerry Huth.
Rob, we can't play trivia here. Right,
okay,
you got to get to the point.
Okay. I think, Ray, and I hope I'm wrong. Do you dislike the Phillies? Or just, if they were playing the Mets in the last game of the year, right, and the winner went to the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
would you want to see them go and, like, take a little bit of the edge away, a little bit of the attention away from your Eagles, or do you root for them?
Oh, no. I want the Phillies to win.
Okay, good. I feel loud. Now I'll go to your play.
Okay, please do.
I'm going to go.
Ray's intent is you're Listen, I'm very enthusiastic about this team. You think I'm over-enthusiastic about this team. That's your honest opinion.
Right.
It's not you thinking, being a Debbie Downer.
Yeah, wishing ill on them by any means.
Right.
No, nothing at all. I'm just trying to be, it kind of became a little bit of a thing on Eagles pregame show on the TV when I would say, reality check. Yeah. I mean, I would do it when, usually it was.
Are you reality checking me?
Mildly. Oh. I mean, it isn't quite like I used to have to do with the governor. I used to really have to reel the governor in sometimes when he was doing the pregame show with us. But I think every so often I kind of feel the need to just kind of, okay, let's just step back a moment and take a real hard look at where we are. And look, I think the Phillies are going to be a good team. And as I said yesterday, our projections for the team aren't that different. You're saying 89 wins. I'm saying 85, mm-hmm. which, we're really literally in the same ballpark. But, I mean, you're just a lot more effusive. Utterly confident in them.
Yeah,
you're talking about the votation you think can be very good.
I do.
I think, to me, I don't think it can be very good. There's too many question marks there. But I think they can be good enough when they're backed up by a good offense. And though I think the one thing we both agree on is they're going to be a good offense. They're going to score a lot of runs.
Yep. All right, 215-592-9494. Coming up, we're going to talk Sixers basketball with Keith Pompey, who handles that team for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Find out what he thinks of Embiid in the playoff race and what he thinks about them in, Embiid in the MVP and them in the playoffs. So we got that coming up. 215-592-9494.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.